You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
All right, we'd like to welcome you back to the Straight Shooters podcast. I'm Henry Stettina, and this is Keith Bennett. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about the pre-shot routine. But before we move forward, Keith, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Weather's getting a little bit worse here in Seattle. Starting to definitely feel the effects of fall, and you can feel winter is approaching. We got rain on the forecast for the next foreseeable future. So kind of typical Seattle stuff, but we're still teaching, we're still plugging away, and there's some diehard golfers up here in the Northwest that'll keep practicing through the winter. Luckily I'm at a nice covered range, so we got some heat. We just put some new AstroTurf in, so that kind of has insulated us a little bit and has make the experience just a little bit more tolerable through the winter. But yeah, man, that's kind of where we're at.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because you know, here we're starting to cool off as well, but we're going to have year-round golfing weather, and it's going to be nice for most of the year. But most of the country is actually moving into the off season, and a lot of players tend to ask us, what can they do to get better as they go through the off season? Maybe they have access to an indoor facility, or maybe they're going to be down in the basement and they're going to be working on their swing, but they might not have a whole lot of space. They might not even be able to have a net, but they probably want to get better. And so what are some of those things that a person might do during the off season? Some simple things that they could do maybe from the comfort of their home.
Yeah, I get that question a ton. And it's a really good one. And, you know, even if you don't, and I think this all comes back to, you know, if you asked a bunch of people kind of if golf was a mental game, I think everybody would respond with a resounding yes, golf is a mental game. But I don't think a lot of people understand how to approach getting better at the mental side of golf, or what that even means, because it's sort of a broad stroke. And I don't think a lot of people go in depth enough. You've got books you can read. You've got journaling you could do. You've got, you know, meditation type stuff you could do. But, I think in the off season, somebody could easily get better and develop a pre-shot routine and a mental focus and a mental pre-shot routine, and really lock down where they want their mind and body to be before they hit each shot for the next year. And you can go through the steps of and the focus of your pre-shot routine without needing to actually make a swing, because a lot of that stuff comes down to, you know, things that are happening before you ever pull the club into the takeaway. So working on the mental side of things and the pre-shot routine, I think is number one at the top of my mind that somebody could do in the off season that would incredibly benefit their game.
You know, that's it wasn't too long ago, maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, I saw a little clip from the pregame of a Seattle Seahawks game. And Russell Wilson was out there doing the, I think you shared that, didn't you? Where Russell Wilson was out there doing some visualization walkthroughs of the whole game before it even happened.
Yep. He was doing the huddle. He was doing the play calls. He was, you know, going through his reads and progressions through, you know, he was running up to the line. He was, you know, mimicking fist bumps. He was mimicking, you know, everything, right? He was literally playing the game out exactly the way he wanted it to go in his head, you know, even though he's got a cast on his hand.
Yeah, we've seen that from a lot of athletes. I know Michael Jordan has always talked about visualization and getting in the zone, and that, you know, his practices were so intense that, you know, he was making them game-like. And we hear about Jack Nicklaus and talking about the pre-shot routine and visualizing in very clear and vivid movie pictures. He sees it. He sees the ball sitting on the green, and then he sees it reverse, the ball flight reverse back to him. And then he sees it traveling towards the target as it would in a shot. And then he visualizes himself actually playing the shot. And so Everybody has these unique ways of going about and doing it, but it seems to be a common practice across the board for all athletes in all sports. I think that that's something that golfers who come to us for golf lessons have heard about, but might not have ever practiced themselves.
Right.
And I think what would be valuable is maybe we just kind of dive in and talk a little bit about what would be the purpose of such visualization. What would be the purpose of developing a pre-shot routine?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great thing. I'll ask a lot of people, obviously more experienced golfers, potentially people that have been playing a while, like, do you have a pre-shot routine? And I think in the resounding answer is no, I don't have a pre-shot routine, or I don't have a process for executing my shot. So, you know, we want a result, right? We want the ball to go towards a target, but that's the result. That is the effect of something that happened prior to it, you know, and what's the cause of that effect? And a lot of people don't have a process for making their, you know, executing a shot most consistently. So, you know, the purpose of visualization, the purpose of a pre-shot routine is to align your mind and body with the task that you want to execute at hand. So, you know, in my mind, the first step is, okay, we got to pick a target. We got to understand where we want the ball to end up. And then I like to say, okay, how do I want the ball to get there? What's the flight? High, medium, low, curving, not curving? You know, what does the flight look like? You know, and we've talked about before, it doesn't have to be this hallucination of sitting there and like closing our eyes and kind of seeing it all in vivid color. It can be a quick kind of look up and see it happening. And then, all right, once I've seen that, what are the conditions like? Do I have any wind? What's the lie that I'm dealing with? Am I on a slope? Am I not? What's the temperature today? What are the firmness of the greens? What the ball going to do when it hits the green? All of that. And then I say, what club is going to help me to produce that image of the shot I just saw? And then I choose that club and I rehearse the swing behind the ball, and I hold on to that picture of the shot in my mind and stand over it, committed to the shot, and make my swing. And a lot of people have never gone through that process one time. They're just looking at the flag, essentially, because that pulls their mind towards something. Picking a yardage and then figuring out, okay, I hit my 7-iron this far at some times in my life, so let me go ahead and swing that 7-iron. And that's kind of the extent of it. What's your experience dealing with people who kind of tell you what their pre-shot routine is versus what you know it should be?
Yeah, that's the players who I ask that question to typically will explain or demonstrate some kind of a physical routine. I take X number of practice swings. I stand behind the ball. I walk in, you know, there's a physical component to it, which no doubt is very helpful, but they seem to disregard at least the explanation of the mental side of it. And you mentioned targeting. Obviously, you know, we could probably go into an entire episode on just how to pick a target, but the second step was interesting to me, was that was visualizing the shot shape. If I'm going to throw a ball, a baseball or a football, I could throw it at various trajectories.
Right.
And it's my belief that the way I would determine those trajectories is through visualization. How do I want this ball to travel in the air so that it goes a specific distance and lands at a specific angle? Now, I'm not talking about getting technical and knowing the actual distance and the actual angle of descent, but it's through a guesstimate of what that would look like. It's very athletic. Right. And a lot of players might refer to that as being very feel oriented.
Right. Right.
More of the artistic side of things. And when we listen to tour players, it seems as though they all have a way of visualizing the intended shot. Both from trajectory standpoint to curvature, possibly the spin and the reaction on the ground. And I think the better we get at seeing and visualizing the ball flight, the more likely it would be to begin to produce it. Now, Tiger Woods talks a lot about the windows, being able to hit the various windows in terms of trajectory. I like to have players right. think of a tic-tac-toe board out into the sky, and that there's 9 ball flights. There's high, mid, and low. Right. And then there's fades, draws, and straight shots. And a person could learn to hit all 9 of those windows. In so doing,
yeah, I'm just looking up. Yeah. I was just saying, I'm looking up right here. The definition of visualization is the formation of a mental image of something. So, you know, kind of what you're describing there, the tic-tac-toe board would be standing behind the ball and forming a mental image of the ball taking off through one of those 9 tic-tac-toe windows. And then if it's curving, which way is it curving? How much? What's the height of it? Where is it coming down? What's the ball doing when it hits the ground? You know, somebody that comes to mind would be like a Bubba Watson, would be an extreme end of the spectrum field player, right? Like, I believe he's just standing behind the ball. He's seeing the curve that he wants. He's probably even seeing how much he wants the ball to spin and in which direction when it hits the green. And then he's just completely allowing his mind and body to set him to the ball to essentially accomplish that mental image and produce that mental image he saw in his head. And, you know, there's a video that I often reference on my Instagram page of Rory talking about, you know, he sees the image of the ball flight and he lets his mind and body react to that visualization, to that image, versus trying to move his club a certain way or move his body a certain way. And, you know, I like that throwing a football or throwing a baseball reference that you talked about just now, and how we've all done that very intuitively growing up, you know, passing a soccer ball to somebody who's on the run. We just kind of, we take a quick glance. We see the speed at which that person's running. We kind of just do a quick little equation in our brain, and it doesn't have to take much thought because we have brilliant brains. And we just seemingly can pass a soccer ball to a spot in space at a right pace that person's going to be running to. So they can, you know, run to it in stride. Or same with throwing a football. You know, you imagine like a quarterback throwing to a space that the receiver isn't even there yet. And I'm, that's why they talk about watching game film, right? They're just going through the mental reps of, okay, you know, let's talk about, you know, such and such player. They know that he typically runs at this speed, and I need to lay the ball out here at this pace if he's going to catch it in stride type thing. And they're going through all of that before they even ever touch the field to basically have their mind in a spot where they can just be athletic and react and not overthink it. And we talk about, you know, what would happen if you got in your own way is if you thought about how much touch and how much loft and arc you need to put on the football mid performance, you know, throwing the ball. You've obviously thought about it all before you ever throw that football, and you have to in the moment be reactionary. It's, that's what we want to have players do, is see the whole shot before they ever walk into the ball, so that over the shot, they can let their body react to the mental picture they just generated behind it. That's kind of what I infer when I'm thinking about like the formation of a mental image and also being free to react to that mental image.
I like the word react. I think that, you know, you can look at the Vision 54 stuff and having a think box and a play box. And when we stand behind the ball and we're looking down the target line, that would be the think box. And that's when we're visualizing the shot and we're taking practice swings. And one of the things that I think we need to do is, when we take those practice swings, those are also in response or reacting to that mental visualization. And so now those practice swings have purpose. I think the key is to have the visualization from start of the pre-shot routine through the end of the shot. And so from behind the ball, we do a lot of that thinking or visualizing. And then as we take our practice swings and then work our way into the play box, Now it's all a matter of reacting or responding to those visualizations. And we refer to players who explain this, you know, who are very high skilled athletes. And sometimes we get players who say that they're not ready for that type of visualization, that they need to develop their swing first. And certainly a person needs to have some amount of development in their swing. I think the development of the swing is also through visualization, but that's probably a topic for another day. Yep. But I think that once the swing is relatively established, it's a matter of using the swing to produce ball flights. And the visualization component is the very ingredient that's needed in order to have the swing produce a shot. You know, for example, if we were on the putting green in the early morning and there's still dew on the grass, a player could roll a putt and see the arc, the ball's going to travel on the ground and it's going to leave a pathway on the wet grass. And so that could be a form of a new player developing a mental picture as to how they intend to read the green and then roll their putt. And right. So something along those lines of where it's more simple. It doesn't have to be so advanced with the full swing quite yet. It could be in putting and chipping. You know, sometimes right. with the young kids, we will have them just off the green make an underhand toss with the golf ball and have it rolling towards the hole. Mm-hmm. And even with any players, we have them do that, where we have them toss some balls onto the green and roll them towards the hole. And then to determine which club will produce that trajectory, and to see if they can play some shots where the ball is landing at the same point that it was landing when tossing and still rolling and stopping at the hole.
Yep.
And so we're taking their natural intuitive mind of tossing balls and transferring that type of visualization to playing golf shots. And that would be that's a beginner golfer, right? We can teach that from the very beginning. And so regardless where a player is on their learning journey, they should embrace the visualization because it's the ingredient that's needed to play good golf shots.
Yeah, you think about that on a holistic level of everything that we've learned growing up. Whether you acknowledge it or not, you know, we talk about, okay, how would you learn to write your name as a child, right? The teacher would write it up on the board, potentially. You would look up at it, stare at it, form a mental picture of, basically for you as a young person, they probably just look like a bunch of lines put together in a certain formation. You know, that makes up your name, you know, Henry. And then you form a mental picture, you look down at your piece of paper and you try to mimic those lines based on the mental picture you formed. And then you have to look back up at the board because your visualization isn't strong enough yet. And then you go back down to the piece of paper, you know, and then you use that mental image to copy what you saw on the blackboard or whiteboard onto your piece of paper. And that's how you learn to write your name. And then, you know, at some point, a few weeks go by and you don't have to look up at the board anymore. You can see the word Henry in your mind and you're able to copy it down. So we're all good at visualization, whether we know it or not. I just think it's a lot easier sometimes in different settings for us to understand it. And I think sometimes too, we understand it so intuitively that when we talk about these types of things, it's almost like we're almost explaining it to the point that it hasn't been explained before. And so when you almost explain something that's intuitive, then you almost like complicate it. If that makes sense. It's like asking a person to be balanced. Well, they've been standing upright their whole life. They know balance. But now if I bring balance to your attention, then you actually become a little bit unbalanced. So I love that analogy of tossing a ball. Like you just be like, okay, toss a ball to that hole. And you don't even need to explain why you're doing it to a person or why you're having them do it. They just might stand there for 10, 15 minutes, potentially, who cares? Tossing balls to a hole. And then before they know it, they're going to figure out how to get the ball close to the hole. And then you say, okay, now chip a ball to that hole. And they just need time to practice it. You know, I think you can almost overcoach it to the point where you make it so complicated. And almost Bob Rotella talks about having a soft focus, a really soft focus on the target, which in my mind is just not overthinking it. We already know how to do all this stuff. He, you know, just almost like shepherding or guiding the player to understand that they already know all this stuff without trying to over explain it. And then in doing so, make it almost more complicated than it needs to be.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Sometimes we try to explain it and it makes it more complicated. I think Bob Rotella does a fantastic job at referring to it as a soft focus rather than a hard focus. And I think he also does a fantastic job of outlining the pre-shot routine in the audio tape, Putting Like a Genius. And if anyone's interested, I would highly recommend downloading Putting Like a Genius by Dr. Bob Rotella and literally doing exactly as he says. It's a minimal cost, and he recommends practicing the pre-shot routine for 10 to 20 minutes per day for 6 to 9 months, with the goal of just seeing how good a person can become at doing it. And that's kind of a perfect process that a person could do in their home during the off season, to where come springtime, they've developed a very sound mental pre-shot routine with putting, and then could probably move it into chipping and pitching and all the way through the full swing relatively easily, because they've established it so well at such a small stage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when it comes to outlining the pre-shot routine, we want to realize that there's both mental and physical components to it, but that the mental is at the heart of it. And then the physical is just what we can see happening from an outsider's perspective.
Right.
And it all begins with picking the target and visualizing the shot in which we want to play. And once that's been determined, it's a matter of making practice swings in response or in a reaction to that visualization, and then going in to play the shot with that visualization in mind, fully committing to that process, to that shot. It's exactly what we hear tour players talking about when they refer to the process or committing to their shots. This is a mental game, and we need to really prioritize the mental side of a pre-shot routine.
Yep. And I think a lot of people get caught up in thinking that the pre-shot routine is okay. Ball position in the middle of my stance, feet shoulder width apart, grip on the club perfect. You know, put my, you know, run my right hand down my leg so it touches my knee so I can get my shoulder tilt. You know, they think of that as the pre-shot routine, because like you said, we observe on TV the physical. You know, I think Scott Fawcett did something where he did a video on YouTube where he timed out Tiger Woods' physical pre-shot routine. And for like an 8-year span, from the time he stepped into the shot to the time he took the takeaway, it was to within like half a second, like 15 seconds, essentially half a second either way. His physical routine never deviated. That's certainly a component of it. But the pre-shot routine, the mental side of it, is all starting walking up to your shot, probably like 50 yards away from your ball, where you're kind of seeing the layout of the land. You're seeing where the ball is sitting. You're feeling what the wind is doing. You're seeing what the green contours are doing. You're all forming that picture, you know, while you're walking up. That's why I prefer to walk rather than ride if possible, because I'm using all that information to form the shot before I even get over it. And then obviously, you know, find out the yardage I'm trying to play and all that sort of stuff. So we want, you know, and also coming back to that, you think about a quarterback, somebody who's running around and scrambling, or even just taking a step back and dropping back, you know, into the pocket and passing. They're doing their footwork and things that they've trained on the, you know, on the practice field. They're not thinking about how many steps and how many drops and what feet are doing while they're doing it. they've trained it so that they can trust it. So the pre-shot routine isn't, I think a lot of people get actually more locked up and mentally locked doing the physical components of it. And they forget that there's a mental aspect to it. And they got to trust that their ball position is going to be good because they've practiced it enough times on the range. And they got to trust that their alignment is going to be good because they've practiced it enough. And they got to trust that their posture is good because they practice it. Because we can make golf a reactionary sport like tennis or football or baseball. But if we're getting in our own way and kind of mentally checklisting all of those things over the ball, it's inevitable that you're going to forget that there's a visualization component to it. And we got to, you know, have the picture of the ball flight in our mind and be more reactive. You know, Bob Rotella says, you know, you're allowed to take 45 seconds to hit a golf shot, but that doesn't mean you have to take 45 seconds to hit a golf shot. You know, you can take way less than that and be more reactionary, but you got to be able to, you know, obviously practice it first. And so you can trust it on the golf course. What do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely correct. I think that, you know, looking at the amount of time that Tiger Woods takes to play to go through his pre-shot routine is being very consistent, is very valuable. But I would be interested to know if he was aware of the physical components of it.
Right.
We've all seen that shot that he played at the Masters, that chip in that just trickles in at the end. He looks possessed as he's preparing to play that shot. He looks absolutely possessed. Like he's so in the moment, visualizing the ball traveling on that green in a certain manner that he would be oblivious to the physical response. He'd be oblivious to the fans in the galleries watching.
Right.
I bet he's so involved in the visualization component that he's oblivious to the physical side of things.
Right. It's just like an add-on.
Yeah. You know, we can watch videotape of a pitcher in baseball or someone serving a tennis ball, shooting a free throw, any sport that isn't reactionary. And they all have a pre-shot routine.
Right.
And they do something with the ball. They might spin it or move it in their hands. They might bounce it a certain amount of times. But when you look at their eyes are focusing on the target.
Right.
And it appears as though they're visualizing what they want to do with the ball. I've talked to baseball pitchers and they can see a different shape for the curveball versus the slider versus the fastball.
Right.
A tennis player will pick different portions of the service box to which they want to play their serve. And depending on if it's a first serve or a second serve and how they want it to kick, they'll see that shot shape differently. And it's the same with all sports, and it's the same with golf, that if we were to visualize that shot, our practice swings would be in response to it and look fractionally different. But the timing, the cadence and the timing to it all would be very much the same. We would have developed a pre-shot routine that from an outsider's perspective was seamless and in flow.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if Tiger or anybody who seemingly has the same pre-shot routine set out to say, this is what I want my pre-shot to be like, or if it just kind of developed over time subconsciously and that just sort of became their fingerprint. You know, like you see Mickelson walk in and he twirls the club twice in his right hand every single time. And you just wonder, that to me is like somebody spinning a basketball in their fingers before they shoot. It's just kind of like something that keeps them loose. And it's just something that keeps them feeling athletic and free as they're visual. Cause you watch him walk, his eyes never leave the target as he's walking in. So many golfers' eyes never leave the golf ball as they're walking in to hit a shot. But you watch the best players in the world, their eyes never leave the target as they're walking in. They're seeing the ball flight as they walk in, like they're in motion, about to throw a pass to somebody or shoot a basketball, right? It's in flow. Mickelson has a beautiful pre-shot routine because he never stops moving. He's always in flow. He's always, you know, flipping his, twisting his club, twirling his club in his hand. And then he gets settled, but he's always kind of looking up. He never looks down at his golf ball. Butch Harmon said something beautiful one time. He said, stare at the target and glance at the ball. So many people stare at the ball and glance at the target. And we need to stare at that target and glance at the ball. The ball's not going to go anywhere. We don't have to stare at it to make sure it doesn't move on us, right? But you think about so many people so many golfers, they stare at the ball as if the thing's going to run away from them. And they kind of like approach it cautiously as if it's going to like jump up and get them or something. You know, they're not engrossed in their target whatsoever. And they're so enamored with the golf ball. And that's the problem. You look at all, watch the best players in the world, watch Phil next time he plays golf. He never stops looking at the target. Similarly, I think if you watched the match, one of the first matches that was played, or the one with Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton and Tiger, there was a beautiful moment where Justin Thomas walks up and asks Phil, what are you going to do on this shot? And Phil lays it all out for Justin in detail, down to the tee. I'm going to do this, it's going to hit here, it's going to check, and it's going to go in the hole. And he literally came within an inch of rolling it in the cup and exactly the way he described it. So, you know, he's going through all of that visual in his head on every shot. He's just not audibly saying it out loud for us to hear, but it was just insanely valuable to hear him lay it all out and say, this is what I'm going to do. And then actually do it. And that's the level of visualization and seeing it all play out and him just reacting to that mental image that we all want to get to. And I just looked up the definition of focus is the state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition. So, that focus of having a clear visual picture is what focus, and everyone's like, I want to focus, but a lot of people don't even know what that means. It's having a mental picture and being a little bit more athletic and reacting. And I think it's natural. It's a natural state. A lot of golfers are very cautious when they're playing to start because they think they want to get the setup perfect and the grip perfect and the this and the that. And the thing is, they haven't practiced it enough on the range to trust it to where they don't have to consciously think about it on the golf course.
Yeah, I think there's one last thing to add to all this is that good players focus on what they want to do. Whereas lesser players focus on what they fear they might do.
That might be the biggest takeaway of everything right there.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about visualization and about pre-shot routine and targeting. And the way we've described it is that we've been talking about the shots that we wish to play.
Right.
But too many players show up to the tee and they focus on not hitting it out of bounds.
Right.
Or not rolling it too far past.
Mm-hmm.
Or not topping it in front of the cart girl.
Yep.
Right. We focus on what we fear might happen. And that too is a visualization. And the brain doesn't know the difference between do and don't. All it knows is what we visualize. And if that's the thought that's in our mind at the time of our swing, that is the shot that we're going to produce. It's a
one. No, that's crazy. You just said that. Sorry. I just want to jump in and say, like, if you don't think you know what visualization is, you just nailed it, dude. You've been visualizing. You've just been visualizing the wrong thing, what you don't want to have happen. And therefore, what do you produce more often? The thing you don't want to have happen.
Yeah, there was a time back in my prime, right, when I was having a hard time putting from short range, three footers. And it was this interesting experience because I was aware of what we're talking about. And I would I would see the ball missing.
Right.
And I would go through the putt anyways, thinking that I could override the system because I didn't want to slow down play by stopping and restarting. And I'd miss the ball on the same side of the hole that I had seen it in my mind. And I just thought, this is crazy. This is like a mental illness that I would see the putt miss and yet go through with it anyways. And sure as shit, it would happen the same way I had seen it.
Yep.
And so I had to reprogram my mind to where I was focusing on a small target inside the hole, a blade of grass, a coloration, something on the back of the cup. And I would just commit to that. I say, it doesn't matter if I make it or miss it, but as long as I can commit to that, I'm at least moving in the right direction. I'm at least giving myself a chance. I'm at least retraining my brain. And there were times when I would get above the ball, ready to putt, and I'd see it miss. And I had to train myself to stop and to start over. And at the time, it seemed as though that would cause for me to take more time and that I would slow down play. And that was one of the fears. But it turned out that whenever I would do that, I would refocus my mind and I would actually make the putt, which would ultimately save me time having to walk around the hole and tap it in anyways. And so it was probably a wash. And then as I progressed through, it caused me to not need to to start over as much because I had gotten better at it, at trusting the target that I had picked in the first place.
You created a new habit of focusing on what you wanted to have happen. So yeah, it might've taken a hair longer in the interim, but big picture, it's going to save you more time because you're going to make more putts on the first attempt. You're developing a habit of saying, this is what I want to have happen and committing to a small target. And so, yeah, net, net, it all comes out a wash and you're shooting lower scores, which ultimately takes less time to play golf when you take less attempts at getting the ball in the hole. So yeah, exactly. And I, what's crazy, you know, talking about that, we all like to blame our technique because it's a lot easier to blame something physical. Like, I'm not a good putter, right? Well, no, you're a fine putter. Moving the putter in a pendulum motion from for a foot back and a foot through is about the easiest task physically that you can do as a human being. You're a fine putter, right? Your mind is in the gutter. You know, you're like you said, you have a mental sickness of almost knowing yourself sabotaging yourself, but doing it anyway. And fearing the putt, you end up kind of jabbing at it or flinching at it because you're just almost like hoping to override the system, hoping to make it go in, versus you're avoiding versus, you know, committing and trusting and accepting the result and moving on. And, you know, I think that's kind of like a great place to kind of sign off is just no matter what you do, if you don't take anything else away from this, it's picking a target, deciding how you want the ball to get there and committing to what you want to have happen versus avoiding the thing you don't want to have happen. You know, if that's all your pre-shot routine is, you're 100 steps ahead of the game right there.
I think that's spot on. And I think that, you know, listeners need to take into consideration the amount of time that it takes to develop a new habit. Mental or physical, it's going to take some time. It's going to take deliberate practice. And when I was listening to Rotella and rewiring my mind, I did what he said for a long period of time. I had done it every day for upwards to 6 months. And I saw a noticeable difference, game-changing, life-changing type of a difference. And a person listening to this podcast just once won't get it. They need to listen to it multiple times. And if they are going to go down the route of downloading the tape from Rotella, they need to listen to it multiple times, hundreds of times, and continue to practice on a daily basis. Just like anything, this takes daily practice. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be 10 or 15 to 20 minutes, but it needs to be done daily over a long period of time. And they too will be able to rewire their brain to have a more productive pre-shot routine with visualization as the centerpiece, and it will produce better golf shots and a more enjoyable experience when on the golf course.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm assuming if people are listening to this that they're serious about improving, you know, not just a casual golf listener is going to pop onto this podcast and listen to the whole thing. So, you know, I think we do a disservice in the golf industry a lot by telling people it's a quick fix or it's a, you know, just do this for a little bit of time and you'll be this type of golfer, which is just total bullshit. I mean, I've spent an entire summer of having Bob Rotella's audiobooks playing on a loop in my car. You know, anytime I got in the car, I just hit play and it would start wherever it starts. And then as soon as the book started over, it would just start over. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes to retrain a mental habit, is continuous maintenance and continuous reminding and continuous thought provoking conversations in listening to somebody talk about it for a sustained period of time, you know, over time. Consistency, the definition of consistency over a sustained period of time. You know, there is no quick fix in the golf industry. You know, we live in a society where everyone wants a pill to make them feel better or instantaneous results. And that has seeped into how people think about getting better at golf. And it's just not the case. So it takes a dedicated, sustained effort. And if you're willing to put in the work, the results will be there. It's guaranteed the results will be there if you put in the work. So Henry, this was awesome, dude. I think this was a insanely valuable conversation. I learned a lot just talking to you, and yeah, man, if anybody listening has any questions for us, reach out to us on Instagram at Keith Bennett Golf or at Henry Statina Golf, and shoot us some topics for some future episodes and ask us any specific questions. I think answering everyone's questions will allow us to cover topics that maybe we hadn't thought of that everyone's sort of wondering and struggling with, and that'll help keep us going.
Great stuff, Keith. Looking forward to the next one. I think this was a great episode, a great conversation. I too learned a ton, and I think this was a very valuable time for ourselves as well as it is for our listeners. So good work, and we'll see you next time.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya.